his date of birth was
October 19, 1858.
Good. And I think your sister said that he came when he was about 20 to 21.
Well, that would be just about right, because 58 to maybe a little bit before that, because my father was born in 89.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, they'd been married about a couple of years. Oh, wait a minute here. Maybe this tells. '86, he married. So we've got that. So that's 2 years less. He'd been 18 one day. In 86, 58 to 88.
No, 58 to 78, he would be 20. And then
wait a minute.
86, he would be 28.
28 he would have been, yes. Though that's what the records say here. So October 19th, 1858. And it says in here she was married to Henry Ryerson January 1st, 1886. Yeah, 58, 88 is 30. Now I thought he was younger than that when he came over here.
Well, he probably he worked for what, a couple of years before he.
Yes, he did.
Klessen said he came first to work for Q.
Q, Rob Q.
And that's K-E-W?
K-E-W.
And then mm-hmm. he went to work for Joe Tucker.
Well, there's a lapse of time there somewhere, because he worked for Joe Tucker, is right. But he also worked for Jocelyn. It was on the old, I don't know anybody said anything about the road that went from Waitsfield to Northfield.
Yes.
Okay. Up at the foot of that mountain or part way up, there used to be Jocelyn Farm.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know whether I've got anything, what Jocelyn it was, as to tell you which it was. But he worked there. And I think my father was born when he was working there. So there's a lapse of time that I guess I'm not sure of right now. Q, Rob Q is who he worked for first, I know that. And his friend there, Oscar Neff, came to work at a neighbor's soon afterwards. And whether he... whether he went from there up to the Jocelyns and the Jocelyns back to Q, I'm not sure.
Well, basically what I said in there was he came over and worked for Rob Q.
Yeah, yes.
And then I said he went on and was working, or Klessen thought he was working for the Tuckers when your Uncle Fred came. And then they met...
Yeah, he seems to think they met there fixing
gate.
That fence,
yeah.
Which we always called over at the gate. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I don't remember it. I don't recall.
Right. Don't remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
it's a great story.
It's something that they. It's a great story, and there was some. Some association there so that they did meet there. Whether they'd met before, I'm not sure. I don't know about that. But that was when he was on the old Irish farm, but he went over there, and Uncle Fred was on the other side of the hill, so they came like that. So that's...
Now, the old Irish farm was originally not your family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Wait. Well, when they met,
Yes.
They were both working for somebody else, weren't they?
Yes, that's right. I think my grandfather's working for the fellow that that owned the farm, so Tucker.
Tucker, and then he bought that. I see.
That's
I see
right.
What
say.
You're saying. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it wasn't the Irish farm then.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no. Joe Tucker, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah. And Rob Q. Rob Q was on the Faceton side. Joe Tucker was on the old Irish farm. Now, as I'm saying, I'm not sure how it fit in that he went up there to the Jocelyn farm, but he had these, I'll tell you what he told me, he said, he used to like to sing too, and he said that Mr. Jocelyn had these, we always called them blackface jerseys, dished. They had a strain that was like that, always looking for the dark face. He said that that Mr. Jocelyn didn't mind him singing when he was milking the cows, but he didn't want him to sing any slow song. He wanted him to sing a fast song because he'd milk the fastest. Isn't that something that stayed with me?
Did you learn any of the songs that he sang?
Oh, a few of them, like Umphel, Trussel, Finkenstar, Unthigunthy, Fogelshire, Heron, and sang Felt, I'm Felt Elves, Monkey, Fro, Monkey, no, Monkey, something like that. Froze is Heron, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, anyway.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Let's see.
Wonder how we could get.
But you know, he would. I don't know whether I told you or not. But he would. We had to tease him to speak German.
That's just what your brother said, or maybe what you said.
Yeah, yeah. He said, he told me more than once. I've heard him tell not just me, but some other people would say, well, "Why don't you? It'd be nice if the kids." He said, "I came to America to be an American."
Do you know where he came from? Or?
Oh, yes. Fishburne, Germany.
Fishburne?
Yeah, F-I-S-C-H-B-U-R-N.
Uh-huh.
We went back there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He never went back. They went back. He and my grandma went back in 1904. And that's the only time that they went back. And did you get them all done?
Hello.
Well, we'd wanted to go over to the British Isles anyway and so forth. So we thought as long as we were going over, we would like to see we hadn't heard from. There was a, would have been his niece. Arlene? Mrs. Florin was a niece. What was her name? It we saw in the white-haired lady that we saw that was so tickled to see us in Germany. My Lord, I should know what her name was.
She was
my grandfather's sister's daughter. There.
Yeah.
Grandfather's sister's daughter. So your first cousin? No.
My father's cousin. My second, yeah. Now, what was I getting at that? Oh, yes, so we knew the town. We had a postcard. I've still got it. And it showed their schoolhouse. It showed the house, the mill. There were millers, ground grain and stuff like that and so forth, you know. And some other building on that. The schoolhouse and that, and I guess their home.
Did he come from a family of millers then?
Yes, yeah, by trade, yeah.
But he never milled here.
No. So we tried to find out, couldn't find on maps. So they told us to get in contact with the consulate in New York. And they sent us a map and showed us where it was. So we planned our trip so that we went across and went to Frankfurt and stayed overnight in Frankfurt. No, in Mainz, just outside of Frankfurt, because it was a holiday, and somebody told us we hadn't better try to go in there because it was just packed and you wouldn't find any room or anything, so we stayed outside. Kind of difficult getting, because nobody could speak English there we got contact with. But and the next day we got on the train, rode about 50 miles to Wasterbach. At Wasterbach they took a bus, and the driver had the card. Yeah, okay. So we got in the bus and we rode. Every stop, of course, we thought that would be it, but we finally, it must have been 20 or 30 miles up into the Justine Roads. And he's in. So we got out, and first person, real friendly, came up, but he couldn't speak any English, and well, we can English anyway, that's about all. And he says, wait, and he went to the post office, and he came back, no. And you could see he was conversing with his wife, and they invited us to sit down. I think they offered us some refreshments or something like that. And after a while, he came back, and this car came up. He wanted us to get in the car, and because we showed him the picture. And he recognized it right off. And why, we didn't go any farther than like around here and around into the street and back down. It was just country, like a lot like Waitsfield, smaller than Waitsfield. And we got out, and the people came out of the house, and there was same name as my grandfather's, one of his brother's son was living there. And he had, he and his wife, and mother, and two children. And one of the son, what was his name? Doesn't matter, it was a German name. And had been taking English in high school. And he could talk some German. So we got a few words. But then it was get disappointing to everybody. All at once, his car drove up. This young fellow gets out, about probably 30 years old. Could speak English just as fluently. He had been a chauffeur for one of the officers in the American Army during the occupation, and he picked it up. And we could converse and everything. Yeah. Now, why did we start out? What was the point?
Well, I asked you, I guess, where he came from, and
yeah.
I guess the other thing is, do you know anything about his decision to come to this country?
Yes, I do. He had to serve. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he was, because he had, I think it was 18, when they were 18, everybody had to serve in the military. We ought to dig that up somewhere along the line. But he had served his time there. But he also saw the dictatorial powers of the Kaiser. See. Now, how he knew, probably word of mouth and people that were over here. I don't know that. But opportunity was for him that he didn't choose to live under those circumstances. There's no question about it. That's why he decided to come to America. Yeah. Because he's told me that a good many times. Even though he saw the good things that were happening in Germany, that did happen, you know, how industrial they were and ambitious and energetic, and most all of them had a profession of some kind, you know, like, my Uncle Fred, he was a cobbler. He'd done some studying, working, I guess, actual application, and that what they made them do, you know, is work for apprenticeship and so forth. A cobbler, he was a really good carpenter, too, And both of them could do things, you know, that were real. But he saw what the dictatorial powers were, and that's the reason that he, some way, he sensed that there was an opportunity here. And I guess that's probably why that he always said the American people ought to appreciate what they had. And then when he saw it, some of the changes were taking place, you know, he'd shake his head and he'd say, the freedom, you know, and the rights of individuals, that's not good. Even back, you know, when he was 90 years old, or, yeah. But that's the reason that he came to America.
Now, your Uncle Fred was, what, a couple of years younger?
Yes, he was. More of me, that maybe that tells him, yeah. Yeah, my father was born in 89. He was the oldest of the three. But I ought to be in here, but Uncle Fred.
So there was your father and Fred. Uncle Fred, and then the sister that stayed there.
Uncle Fred was born September 15th, 1863. 63 is 5 years younger.
5 years younger.
5 years younger, yeah. Now, just where I'd find, maybe in there if I look more. But, well, damn it, wait a minute. It must be, I must have his, a record of his passing. I know I've got one. There's hers. Now, I'd forgotten this, that he for several years was a slick man in the town of Warren. Now this is 87. Wait a minute. '87 is when they were married. January. Thought I said they were married in
85 or 86.
Married January 1st.
You did say January 1st. Yeah, because he was 28. So you said.
Well, now it says here January 1st, 1887, and this one in 80. You see, in this one here it says January 1st, 1886.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Well, being on January 1st, which one was right? but then it goes on. Here it says 56 years had resided in Warren. Wait, wait just a second. Now here it says he came to the United States 54 years ago, and this is 54 from 87, 3.
This was written when?
This.
Was at his death?
No, it was their anniversary. Warren couple wed half a century.
Okay, so he was here 4 years before he was married, which makes it 82. 86,
82. I read that somewhere.
24.
Let's see. January 1st. She says here, was married to Henry Irish on January 1st, 86.
Yeah. And so 50 years plus 4 would make it 82 that he came.
Yes. That's right, too, if they were married then.
We can fudge that by saying the early 80s.
Yeah. Now let's see here. 40 years ago, they moved to the Warren into the farm known as the Joe Tucker Farm in Grand Hollow. Now, 40 years ago, I don't know. They've cut off up here the year, so I can't tell which it is. See? Now, it says here, Marinetti Sound. Being on January 1st, they might have called it 86 when it was 87.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it says they moved. Now, that's probably when they moved from the Jocelyn place back to the Joe Tucker place.
Right. Now, did your grandfather and your Uncle Fred buy that together?
No.
Your grandfather?
Yes. My grandfather and grandmother bought that together. And I think I told you in there that he told me, and they had probably 8 or 10 cows or something like that, small number. And he told me that he used to get up and do the chores, take care of the animals' milk and all that stuff, and separate the milk, because there was cream at that time anyway, and then walk up on the mountain where Sugarbush is, up in that area there, and cut with an axe by hand for 75 cents a day. And he said, as I recall, he said what he earned up there would take care of what groceries they bought and so on and so forth, and the income that he had from the cattle he used to pay off his indebtedness and so forth. 75 cents a day.
That's amazing.
Isn't that something? But his home meant an awful lot to him, yeah. And all the things that he was offered, it's too bad, you know, I think of it a number of times to think that if the people today could have the feeling that he had, the patriotism and the good things about our country instead of what we're trying to do, how wonderful it would be.
That's the fascinating thing to me. People that came here for a new life. I interviewed.
I heard a lady who had been behind the Iron Curtain who escaped. One time I heard her whole presentation. You know, some people, I've forgotten what her profession was, but the things that she came out with, you know, were just the things that we're talking about. That were so.
Another person that we did a videotape, which began us thinking along this, and then we've since expanded this idea of it. But we did a videotape on, it was Angelo Ambrosini, the Italian, the Jewish peddler, Max Fishman, who came to Virgin's.
What was his name? Fishman, it was Virgin's.
Oh, you probably knew his son.
He was on the board of
trustees
with me.
That's right. That was his son. Can't think of what his name was.
Well, isn't that something?
Betty Fishman is still
Betty
alive.
Is a dog. Yes, she is.
David Cohen, his grandson now runs Fishman's.
Oh, yes. That's
so
interesting to know that.
And then the French Canadian we used to Baudouin's, who had come down to work in the mills. And Italian, French Canadian. Then we used Russell Dwyer over in East Middlebury. His grandmother was an Indian, and he always felt that this was why he was such a fine trapper and woodsman.
You speak about remember we talked about discrimination. Remember, I remember real well when this was the Italian, the Dagos, the WOPs.
Yes. You people. Know why WOPs?
No.
Without papers.
Oh, is that it? Is that right? But that's the way they were referred
yes.
to.
Yes.
And damn WOP. So it's not new.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I was interested in talking with you a little. Well, I like the idea of the songs.
Yeah.
And the fact that you, the German that you learned obviously was in
yeah.
song form.
Yeah.
I don't know how we'd ever, maybe some German scholar could write out the words to Twinkle Twinkle Little
yeah,
Star.
Yes, I don't
but
know
that. That would be nice to include, because I do have
yeah.
a thing about your Uncle Fred singing and your...
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But are there any other songs you remember from...
I was trying to think what the... Yes, there were, and I was trying to think what they were. But, and isn't that funny?
Say the words again. For the twinkle, twinkle.
Umso, umso, trussel, think and star. Ante, gante, focal. Now I learned this, you know, probably a kid like
mm-hmm.
this. And it was something like, umso, trussel, think and star. Ante, gante, focal, share. Here and sing and felt, I'm felt out. Something like that. Not monkey, but froze his ear. And now, what they would say now, Mrs. Von Trapp or Angelica Bumba, they probably could.
Well, actually, Johannes is on my list.
Oh, yes.
So uh-huh. I might ask him.
Ask him, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I was trying to think. One that I can't, it just doesn't come to mind. But in a way, you know, I know we'd have to tease him and tease him. He used to tell us these stories about real bedtime stories, you know, about this giant, and he had a name for him that. Anyway, they slew him. Some little fellow slew the giant. Anyway, I had a name for the dogs. He had some dogs with him and so forth. But he saw the good things in life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Indians. The French, the Irish, I've always heard some slang about each one of them, so I guess we're... It's not new.
No? No. What about food?
Oh, yes. Grandfather could cook real good, real well. He knew also... Preparing meats, you know, like ham, how to process it, and different dishes, you know, stews, and the use of vegetables and all that stuff. Oh, he knew just how to put them into meat and how to cure every single thing of a pig or a beef. He knew what it would. What you could use it for, you know, what kind of meat. Swadamoka, I spoke to you. And that's a sort of a head cheese, is what it is, as I recall, see. And which meant a lot for the large family we had, because it processed every single thing that was eatable. Yeah.
I think you or Klessen talked about pork, raw pork and vinegar that was always on the table.
Yeah. If.
Did that have a name?
If it did, I have it. It isn't in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think Cleston did either.
No. But it was just sliced in little cubes, like with vinegar on it. So it sort of processed it, is what it did. And it would stay, if you let it stay a little longer, it was even better, you know, if it was. Yeah.
But that, again, I think was probably German.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about it.
So I'm interested in the German foods that came down in your family. Because that, again, is an example.
Now, I don't recall that he ever, now he may have, used the blood to make blood meal, blood pudding. But I know that he said that they used to, at home, which in Germany, they even saved that to make it.